By the way, I went to see Lee Morgan. You remember, Phil, we were promoting this.
Yes,
he was to be there, I think.
You didn't go to see Lee Morgan because you went to see the author of the book.
Yeah, pardon me?
You went to see the author of the book.
This is the third time I've done this. I met him. I shook his hand and I said, Mr. Morgan. He said, no, Mr. Morgan is the one who was shot. And speaking of which, we actually have him on the line. Larry Rennie Thomas. Are you there, Larry?
Hey, man. How you doing? I'm calling from the land of John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk, Max Roach, and Nina Simone.
You're in the same. Okay, go ahead and explain that. I saw you Saturday night, and you made that point that these are North Carolina people.
Yeah, they're all native North Carolinians. My next book is going to be on the Carolina Connection. I give lectures on the Carolina Connection. Mm-hmm. I've counted over 75 native North Carolinians who became jazz musicians.
So how are we going to explain that? Is that the weather, or is that the neighborhood, or is there something culturally going on in North Carolina?
Well, Jimmy Heath, the saxophone player, he's a saxophone legend. His father was actually born in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He said it must be in the water.
Yeah. Well, we'll invite you up here as a musician. Now, you wrote a great book, and it actually started as an article, The Lady Who Shot Lee Morgan, and now they've turned it into a film. It's going to be shown at the Toronto International Film Festival. It's had its viewing by the media. But later in the week, it's going to be two showings. But tell us, how did this come about? It starts with an essay.
Well, it actually came out before I wrote the article. I'm a radio announcer, and I had about three gigs at one time in my life in the 90s. And I had a bookstore, and I was actually teaching a class at Shaw University, which is an African-American university that has branches all over the state. And they try to give adults a chance to get a college degree. And it's called CAPE. And one of my students, when I was teaching there in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is my hometown, one of my students turned out to be Helen Morgan, the lady who shot Lee Morgan.
Yeah.
And I interviewed her, and I wrote an article, and I posted the article on the internet in 2007, and it went from here to Thailand, and it's been translated into six or seven different languages.
Yeah. Now, you met her, and your ears really pricked up, right? Because
no question,
you mentioned
man.
Jazz, and she said, I like jazz.
Right.
And my husband. And
yes.
Now, tell us who Lee, what did you say to yourself in terms of Lee Morgan? How much did you appreciate him as an artist? Who is he?
Oh, he was fantastic, man. Come on. He was really hot, a hot, young. I mean, if you listen to him, you can hear that hot, brassy sound that epitomizes the Blue Note.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody knows about Blue Note, or maybe they do. The Blue Note Records is a record company that was producing a great deal of, I don't call it jazz, but, American classical music during that era.
I like that.
It was very popular, and it was being played on all the jukeboxes, and it was just, a lot of people are under the impression that so-called jazz music is dead. That's a lie. They want it. I think that's, people want it to die for some reason. I don't know why, but it's not dead.
It's black music. It's African music, and that, as you know, puts a kind of a slight curse on it from the point of view of the white supremacists.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, it disapproves their total theory. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's political music. It's just by the mere fact that you have these people who have been nicknamed or designated as being a bunch of apes and uneducated, they produce such beautiful music. I mean, that's political. That's the first political aspect of it. And then a lot of the music is based upon political themes. John Coltrane did Alabama. Billie Holiday did Strange Fruit.
Mm-hmm.
There's several examples. And then Max Roach, he did Freedom Jazz Suite.
Yeah,
and Eddie Harris did Freedom Jazz Dance. And Miles did Nefertiti.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about uplifting the cultural awareness of the people. That's all it's about.
Yeah.
You
describe a really remarkable man while telling the story of the sad story of the wife who shot him in a tragic incident. But that man, you got to explain to me. He had a drug problem, a real serious one. The word you used was low-down drug user. I mean, you said there are categories, and he was of the dangerous.
How could he
be so great and have this problem? And also, you mentioned some politics. He also joined protest of discrimination Explain to that. Who is this guy?
I think that's why we don't hear a lot about Lee Morgan. It's because he was Mrs. Morgan called him a black militant. I mean, he wrote a tune called Angela. He also recorded a tune called Mr. Kenyatta. Uh-huh. And one of his most famous albums is A Search for a New Land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was he interrupted Dick Cavett's show.
Yeah.
And said, why don't you hire more jazz musicians, more African-American musicians? I mean, that was almost unheard of.
Uh-huh. But, you know? But in terms of talent and being able to get out there and do it, you say that Helen Morgan is one of the reasons we do know him. I mean, she picked him up and got him back. But his ability to perform, once you got him sort of brushed off, do you think that which direction was it going? Was it he's risking his life. Did that involve any of his talent that you see? This dangerous life he was leading? Is that?
Well, no, I mean, it's a world where you're having fun and you're young and you're getting high, and so you're just having a good time. And plus, she mentions it in the interview that I conducted with her, that she has been in conversations with the jazz musicians, and she said it was some of the most intellectual conversations she's ever had, but they were all junkies. And they were questioning the reason why there was so much heroin in Harlem. Now, I was living in Harlem during the late 60s and early 70s, and it looked like bombed out Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And there was drugs all over the place, man.
Yeah.
People were coming to Harlem to purchase drugs. I mean, that doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that one out,
mm-hmm.
that they were targeting the African-American community. They even, COINTELPRO even targeted the black universities in the South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't just, that the drugs don't appear by osmosis.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? This, by the way, speaking of osmosis, the way you tell that story, and it's so nicely told, I really people find it on the internet very easily by going Larry, Rennie Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and this essay will come up. Please read it, because I can see why that the director said, I want to do that, right? He phoned you up and said, I want to do that.
Well, not only that, he knew that I had interviewed her and I had that live footage. Have you seen the movie yet?
Not yet.
Oh, you need to go see it. We just got an excellent review today in The Guardian.
Uh-huh.
You got to read it. We've been getting great reviews.
So
and Variety and the Hollywood Reporter, and everybody's giving good reviews, man.
You know, you describe two basically beautiful people who are really struggling, and what they produce between the two of them is terrific on stage, but also intellectually.
Right.
She says, you're talking about a poor North Carolina girl
right.
who goes to New York.
Right.
And she's sitting there with jazz musicians, and she says, hey, this is an education I'm getting.
Right.
And then, but meanwhile, she's feeding them. Talk about that. Who was coming to her house to get meals?
Everybody. Almost everybody you can name. All the jazz musicians would go by her back.
We have to say Miles Davis.
Well, she met Miles backstage. Uh-huh. I don't think Miles ever came over to her house. But she, once they finished their gigs, it's like 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And they would stop by her house because she lived on 53rd Street. And she said that she was a talker, but one of the things that she would like to hang out with people who were, you know, the in crowd. You know, these were the hustlers and the pimps and even the prostitutes. But she would like to hang out with these people, and they gave her a name. They called her Hip Square. She was a little Hip Square who was talking all the time. But, you know,
you tell a good story. She put Miles a little bit in his place.
Yeah, well, Miles is a very arrogant person anyway. I mean, most people say that about him. I mean, he was just, because Miles came from a very wealthy family, man. He wasn't a poor person. His father was extremely wealthy.
Uh-huh.
And he went to Juilliard.
Juilliard, okay.
Yeah, his father had extensive.
Yeah, I didn't go to Juilliard.
His father had extensive real estate holdings.
Yeah.
But, well, Miles went to Juilliard, but he didn't go to Juilliard. He started hanging out with Charlie Parker. And it was over then.
But she did stand up to him. Even poor North Carolina girl that she was, she said, don't talk to me that way. I don't claim to be a musician.
It was just one of the things that she said in the midst of the interview that I found hilarious. You know, and it was almost a two-hour-long interview, so I think Casper just picked out what he wanted to pick in the movie. You got to go see the movie, man. I think it's playing
We are going to go
at the Scotia.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah,
Scotia. Okay, yeah. I saw it. It's excellent, man.
Well,
it's very good.
Yeah. Last thing I got to ask you, and by the way, we want to have you back in the future because we, I think you ignite the some of the reputation so that people are going to be wanting to pick up more Lee Morgan. But
yeah, right.
What do you tell people? They say, well, what should I listen to? What do you tell them?
My favorite is Dexter Gordon. I like Dexter Gordon because he's one of the I call it modern American classical music, but mm-hmm. it was called bebop. Mm-hmm. Dexter Gordon is my favorite. I like Duke Ellington. I like Miles. I put Miles on one of my favorite albums. It's My Funny Valentine, a live recording that he did a benefit for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the NAACP during the 60s.
Yeah.
So I listen to them all, but I like sophisticated music. It's the most sophisticated music in the world, man.
Yeah.
It's the music of the future.
Classic, American classic music.
Yeah, it's the music of the future. We're just waiting for y'all to catch up.
Well, the book is The Lady Who Shot Lee Morgan, by Larry Rennie Thomas, and we're talking to him now, and you were great when you were in town. It was wonderful meeting you.
Thank you, man.
We look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, no question. We'll do it all over again one time soon, all right?
All right. We will do it. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. And that was Larry Rennie Thomas. And do we have any? We're going to have a little taste of music, and we're going to get out of here. The Indigenous Waves is coming.